Khoonie, The Crimes of India is a thoroughly researched podcast that uses publicly available documents, reports, and books and associated media to provide listeners with a complete picture of the week's case. The following content is often graphic and regularly uncomfortable. Mentions of assault, bodily harm, and death may follow. Khoonie, The Crimes of India does not condone any actions mentioned in the episode. Minors are advised to exercise caution before proceeding. Thank you.
Hi guys, this is Aditi. I just wanted to chime in and talk about some recent developments that are taking place in the country, in my state of UP. Something terrible has been unfolding in the state of Uttar Pradesh for the past few days. I'm sure some of you have been following the news about the Dalit 19-year-old girl who succumbed to her injuries after being raped. But maybe you're getting your information in bits and pieces, so I'm going to do what we usually do at Khoonie and condense everything down for you. So on the morning of 14th September 2020, a woman living in the village of Bulgadi in Hathras took her 19-year-old daughter to the fields to collect fodder for cattle. At around 9:45 a.m., the woman looks up from her work and realizes that her daughter is nowhere to be found. The mother panicked and she started looking around in the field. And she didn't need to look too far because her daughter was lying only 100 meters away, bleeding and battered. She was lying in a pool of her blood, which was oozing from her nose and mouth. Her dupatta was tied around her neck. The mother rushed her to the nearest hospital and she blamed herself. You see, she was hard of hearing. So she blamed her disability for not allowing her to hear her own daughter's cries. At the hospital in Aligarh, where she was admitted, she was on a ventilator. The chief medical examiner said that her limbs were paralyzed. Initially, it was being reported that the paralysis was because of a broken backbone, but later reports claimed that it was because her central nervous system had been damaged because there had been a violent attempt to strangle her. There are also reports that her tongue was either cut off or she had suffered deep wounds on her tongue because her rapist had tried to strangle her violently and her tongue got caught between her teeth. The reports are conflicting. Either way, bottom line, she suffered debilitating injuries. But through it all, she was able to tell the police that she had been raped by a man called Sandeep. The family knew who he was. Sandeep came from an upper caste family in the village itself. 19 years ago, there was a petty but violent dispute between the families, and Sandeep's grandfather had spent 3 months in jail after being booked under the SCST Prevention of Atrocities Act. So it seems that Sandeep may have been carrying a grudge against this Dalit family. Sandeep had also threatened this girl before this incident as well. You know, not just that, he had tried to abduct her once, but she had managed to run away. Her mother told reporters later that the girl had been too scared to leave her house, but you know, she hadn't told her family that things had gotten this bad with Sandeep. Now, Sandeep, as we said earlier, is an upper caste man. He had a reputation for getting drunk and harassing women, but he never suffered any consequences for his crimes. This is not just male privilege, this is also caste privilege. According to prison statistics released in 2009 by the National Crime Records Bureau, 21.9% of all convicts, 23.4% of all under trials, and 26.5% of all detainees are Dalits. The share of Dalits in the national population is only 16.6%. Share of general category or upper caste in the population is roughly 30%, and they form around 35% of all convicts, 33% of under trials, and 25.6% of detainees. Which means that the proportion of upper caste or general category persons getting convicted or detained is almost equal to their proportion in the population. But for Dalits, it is disproportionately high. Right, so if you're a Dalit, your chances of arrest and detention are disproportionately higher than someone from general category. not only are your chances of incarceration higher if you're a Dalit, but if you're a Dalit, you're also more vulnerable to crime. And according to data released in 2016 by NCRB again, of all the crimes committed against members of scheduled caste, the highest are against Dalit women. So they are the most vulnerable. Assaults on scheduled caste women to outrage her modesty, rapes, attempt to commit rapes, and insult to the modesty of a scheduled caste woman consists of lion's share of all cases against Dalits. NCRB data also shows that 4 Dalit women are raped every day in India. And these are just reported figures. A Dalit woman is rarely taken seriously by law enforcement, especially in a country like ours, and especially in a state like mine, Uttar Pradesh, where law enforcement and bureaucracy is heavily savarn dominated. And I just want to point out one thing. Many people from savarn communities took issue with the fact that this was being made into a caste issue. I just want to say that this is a caste issue. Maybe this happens to savarn women, but it happens to Dalit women more, and they are at a greater risk of being denied justice than a savarna woman. It becomes a caste issue because an upper caste man decides that he can do whatever he wants with a Dalit woman's body. Rape is about power, and usually that means a man exerting his power over a woman because the latter is vulnerable. But in this case, the man has additional power of being upper caste in rural UP. So this was done with impunity because 4 men honestly believed that they could get away with it. They didn't, which is a relief. But I promise you that in most cases like these, they usually do, right? So coming back to the case, while this woman was in the ICU, her family was being threatened by the accused and the police both. By 22nd September, the victim was able to give a more detailed statement to the police, which was recorded. And she told them that she had been in the field collecting fodder when 4 men had dragged her by her dupatta and raped her. They had also tried to strangle her, so she died, but she survived. Besides Sandeep, the other 3 men were Ramu, Lovekush, and Ravi. The family alleged that medical treatment was delayed for the victim for a long time, because even though her condition remained critical for days in the hospital in Aligarh, she was only transferred to Safdarjung Hospital in Delhi this Monday, that's it, and she passed away on Tuesday. So now let's talk about the role police played in this whole situation. The family had earlier alleged that the police only took their case seriously because once public backlash became imminent, the police defended themselves by saying that they registered an FIR on 14th itself against Sandeep because the victim was only able to give that one name. And they took a detailed statement on 22nd, after which they were able to register a complaint against the other 3 as well. But still, the police had initially, without the victim's statement, declared that there had been no rape at all. How do you do that? Especially when the family is telling you otherwise. Initially, they had also only registered a case of attempt to murder and a complaint under the SCST Prevention of Atrocities Act. Ultimately, the victim herself had said that she'd been a victim of rape and the police had to add rape charges as well. But this was much later on the 22nd. My question is, why dismiss such a grievous charge outright? Once the victim's post-mortem was conducted, the police took her body without permission from her family. If you want a minute-by-minute account of what happened, we recommend looking up Tanushree Pandey's Twitter timeline. She reported it in real time. The family was locked up in their home. The police were strong-arming the family into performing the last rites of the victim immediately after the post-mortem. Have you ever heard of this happening? In fact, we have just concluded our series on the Noida double murders. We told you that the Talwars cremated Arushi the same day her post-mortem was conducted. Noida police and CBI both considered this quote-unquote suspicious behavior. They thought Talwars were in a hurry to cremate Arushi, so they must be guilty. So going by the same logic, why did the police in Hathras cremate a rape victim immediately after post-mortem over and above her family's protestations? Why did they lock up the family? The family pleaded with the police that it was against their custom to cremate somebody at night. They pleaded with the police to let them see their daughter one last time. The policemen are heard telling them in a very condescending way that customs and traditions can be changed with time, you know, not when it's casteism, evidently. They're saying that the family is at fault as well, and they're laughing at, as the funeral pyre is burning next to them, in complete and utter disregard for the dignity of the girl. If you understand Hindi, once again, please, please go to Tanushree Pandey's timeline and look up the posts. Just look at the impunity of the police present there. This isn't the first Dalit woman who has been victimized like this in UP. It happened to a 13-year-old Dalit girl just this August. She was found in the field of the upper caste man who had brutalized her. And as someone who lives here, I can say that all of UP is made up of a million little Hathrases. We are recording this for the Savarn Hindu listeners of this podcast because as a community, we need to understand our privileges. Please know that at no point in history has a Savarn Hindu woman ever stood up in support of a Dalit or Bahujan or tribal woman. But we have benefited a lot from the struggles of the leaders of these communities like Ambedkar and Phule. Even now, many people are taking issue with the fact that this whole incident is being made into a caste issue when it is a woman's issue. And so to counter that, let me just give you a small incident. Since it has not been widely reported in the English media, maybe a lot of you don't know about it, but an organization called the Rashtriya Savarn Parishad, headed by Pankaj Dhavraya, went to the office of superintendent of police and handed a letter in defense of the rape accused after the news of the death came out. If this is not about caste, then why is a caste-based organization representing upper castes defending the rape accused? So bottom line, it is about caste. So I hope we have been able to shed some light on this case. We hope we've managed to highlight the caste dynamics involved here. Hathras is receiving a lot of coverage, even if it is too late. But so many incidents like Hathras do and will in the future fly under the radar. It happens all the time if we are not vigilant. So please, educate yourself and keep yourself informed and keep the conversation on caste going within your communities. Okay, thank you.